Now, you will have received your little handout note as you came in, and you thought, heavens, what are we on about today? Elijah's mental health. Obviously, from the children's talk, Elijah is the feature at one level, but people are the feature at another level. So I've chosen this, and in your little handout, I've chosen it because coming to work to church here one morning, I heard a message on the ABC. And the ABC was saying that mental health is one of the big issues of society at the moment. So how do we face this as a church? I mean, we talk about sin and we talk about problems and whatever, but in society there is a major problem. An incredible rise in mental health issues. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And it's come highlighted through COVID, through counsellors. There was a time, say 20 years ago, when I think we'd hardly ever heard of a counsellor. People weren't going to counsellors or to therapy. So what has actually happened? Now, as you read through your notes, you'll see that I've put DAPL, and that stands for depression, anxiety, panic attack and loneliness, rather than repeat that every time. But friends, I want to say that if someone, and I'm aware that within our congregation we have people suffering from these things, I'm also aware that you have family members or people in your circle of friends who have been suffering in some way. I want to highlight that this is not a sin. Let's be careful. This is not a sin any more than something like a broken leg might be a sin. It's not a sin at that level. And any age can be confronted with this. Our temperaments are different, so we cope with things differently. Our coping mechanisms are so different. Perhaps one of the horrifying things, well, horrifying for me, are some of the statistics that are around. And I know statistics can prove anything, but these are some. That between young people in those ages, 16 to 24, that has gone up by nearly a half in the last 15 years, young people suffering from mental illness. The average age for depression is not old people, but it is between 35 to 40. So, the highest rate being 12 to 25. Where we all think, oh, young people are fine. But friends, young people are struggling. And we need to realise that. 3.3 million people, it's estimated, in Australia suffer from anxiety, 1.5 million suffering from depression. And then when we add that 9 people a day in Australia are committing suicide, when we multiply that out by the days in the year, it's a lot of people taking their lives. Why? If we go to the LGBTQ group, up to 4 times as many people in that category are involved in this whole situation. And the biggest loneliness, well, the 18 to 24 group, those in their late 20s, those in their 50s and those in their 80s. Teenagers or early 20s struggling with issues of life. 50s, emptiness, family leaving home. 80s, friends and family have died. So there's a whole sense. So I'm highlighting this today simply because I guess I was shocked when I heard the ABC talking like this. But to say church, there was a time when divorce was the worst thing the church had to cope with. How do we minister to people who are divorced? Well, I think in front of us is an incredible challenge. how do we in the church, and what have we in the church got to offer to people who might be coping with issues of mental illness, in whatever form that takes, or loneliness? Now, seems to me that a lot of things that are advantageous, technology, telephones and all the rest, are also quite isolating. It becomes individual. We look at our phone. People tend not to talk, they send a message. That interpersonal stuff has gone, and it's only adding to the loneliness and the mental illness. Now, you can think of all sorts of causes, and here we've got some down. A stressful event, of course, a death of a loved one. Personalities, different personalities are affected in different ways. Some family histories have a genetic situation. Talking to someone at Solid Rock last night, they said, Colin, through our family, out of the six brothers and sisters, three of my brothers, or younger than me, have died, all with mental illness. It's a family trait. Pregnancy and birth, how amazing. And just yesterday, in The Australian, the weekend magazine, there was an article by Zach Tui, a footballer. Yes, he plays for Geelong, but a footballer, 34. And he wrote this, that when in 2014, after the birth of your first son, you describe a post-traumatic depression. Here's a footballer, 35, a young man, has had a birth. Yes, and he says, it wasn't until a few years later that I thought whether I did or did not have a kind of depression. A post-depression that we often talk about with women having had a child. My wife never knew until recently that every day on the drive home, I pulled over at the same place and sat in the car and cried. I realise now that that behaviour was not normal. Why am I reading that? I'm reading it because, friends, we think the postnatal depression is a woman's problem. Here we have a young footballer in that situation. I think all ages can be affected. Menopause, loneliness, alcohol, drugs, illness, finance. We don't have to scratch the surface much to find the sorts of things that can lead to depression, loneliness, upset. This, dear friends, is our community. We've just sung, I've been set free. We're talking, what can we offer to each other and what can we offer to people who are in this dreadful situation? Now, if we think about dear old Elijah, those of you who've got your Bibles might want to turn, if not, just listen carefully. We're talking Elijah, a man like us. And the interesting thing that, although that's mentioned in James, Elijah was a man like us, and we just heard part of what he did and how he reacted. He was around 900 BC. That's when King Ahab was there. In 1 Kings 16, we read this. 1 Kings 16. 20 verse 29, 1 Kings 16. In the 38th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Ahab began to reign over Israel. Ahab becomes the king and explains who he is, blah, 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 blah. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than any who had been before him. So we get the idea of what Ahab was like as a king. And as if it had been a light thing to him, for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took the wife Jezebel, the daughter of a certain king, and served Baal at his altar. He even erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal built in Samaria. He made an Asherah. Now, sometimes in those Asherahs, there were sacrifices. There were, of course, male and female prostitutes, and he just provoked the Lord more than anyone. It was amazing. But he then, dear old Elijah, realizing the evil, prayed that there'd be no rain. And there was no rain. There was a drought. So it just got under Ahab's skin a little more. But Ahab was provided with food. If you read this, I'm not going to go verse by verse, but if you read this, he was provided with food and he restored life to a widow's son. What an amazing experience of God he had. It was drought. He had food provided. It was drought. And the woman's son died, and he gives back life. Then we have the contest on Mount Carmel. And so we've got, as Dion said, on one side we've got the prophets of Baal and the supporters of Ahab saying, come down and burn up the wood and the two bullocks that were cut up on it. What a mess, what a mixture. Nothing happens. So Elijah said, your God must have gone to the toilet or something else. He's not listening. And then we know when Elijah prays, boom, down comes the fire. It's consumed. And of course, the prophets of Baal are terrified and actually they're killed. Jezebel. What a woman. I'm not sure she went to church. But anyhow, nor the sort of woman you want to bring home to meet mum. But anyhow, she was enough to scare Ahab. And he shot through. Take my life, he says. No one else is around. I want to say, isn't this the thinking of people often with either depression or a mental illness? It would be better if I died. I'm no use to anyone. Take my life, please. Or no one else cares, no one else understands, no one else. This is the feeling. And this, of course, was Elijah. Now, why is this in the Bible? Well, I think it says to us, we will sometimes find ourselves in that position that no one else understands us. We're depressed, we're frightened, we're alone, no one cares. And we need to be careful and we need to realise that although God spoke, he spoke in a quiet voice. So, let's look a little more at what happens here. Because there are times when our situation is physical. When, and friends, we need to realise that sometimes when we're exhausted, when we're very tired and the world is very busy, sometimes when we've had great spiritual blessing, when we've been on a camp, or God has done something incredible in our lives, it's easy to go down. When we least expect it, and then some people are manic, up and down, up and down, up and down. And that becomes a big problem, of course, because the person who is manic goes up and down, up and down. And when they're up, they say, I'm so good, I don't need my tablets. And then they're down. So, friends, let's be aware that sometimes people around us are suffering simply because of a physical situation. And what does God do? He basically says to Elijah, and he says to anyone in this situation, have some sleep, have some food, rest and eat. But anyone who's in this situation says, I don't feel like eating. I don't want to sleep. I've got so much energy. So if we're trying to minister or help people like this, we need to be careful. But if you're a person like this, maybe some sleep and some food could be helpful. Psychologically, a person can become obsessed with the problem and blame other people. And then he says, there are 7,000 people who haven't bowed. Look, it's their fault. Here am I serving God, says Elijah. And what's everyone else doing? And so God just says, actually, Elijah, there are 7,000 others. But in the situation, the person can become angry, irritable, moody, sad, hopeless, very hard to live with sometimes, either individually or in the church. And I've got there that it has been said by a psychologist that many people have fallen into the situation of feeling useless. And in a way, that's what Elijah felt, I think. Just useless. What do I do? What use am I? No one else is with me. Friends, men who retire often fall into that category. I've given up my job. Now, who am I? Who am I? What can I do? I'm useless. I had a job. I was useful. I was bringing home money. But now, and we often find, don't we, that men who retire die within a certain time simply because they feel useless, not necessarily anything medically. So friends, the physical answer may be food and drink to help people. The psychological answer is, I'm here with you to support you. You are not by yourself. You are not by yourself. But people need to get their thinking right. Socially is one of the most difficult situations because people often, in this situation, withdraw. What did Elijah do? He hid in a cave. That's why you've got a cave on the front this morning. He hid in a cave, and that's often what people do. Almost hide in a cave, pull the blanket over their head. One of the ladies at the church that I was at once, she would ring up, hello. So I knew straight away it was Leslie. Hello, could you come around? And I'd go, all the blinds would be drawn. The house would be black. And I know other people, into bed, over the head. That's how we cope. And Elijah coped by running away. Friends, going by yourself can be good because there's no distractions if you can think. But negatively, it becomes unreal because you only have your own thoughts and they become bigger and bigger and bigger and magnified negatively. We need to be careful. But how beautiful that God says the answer, or one of the answers for you, Elijah, is that I'm giving you Elisha to work with you. This is the church. The church needs to surround people going through struggles and give that support. Yet you're not by yourself. We're here to help. And spiritually, well, again, withdrawing, no. It's very hard, I think, for people with mental illness, whether it's one of these issues or not, to actually move towards God. People tend to move away from God. Where is God? God doesn't care. I feel so far away from God and I feel guilty because I'd seem to think I've moved away from God. And so God sometimes speaks not in the loud things, but just quietly and gently to us. We need to be careful, and we need to be aware too that God wants to speak to us. And God wants to speak to our friends and family who might be going through hard times like this. God wants to care. Friends, how can we help? Well, we can help in these ways. Support, pray for, encourage, befriend and love. And please don't say, snap out of it, overcome it, get yourself out of the hole. But no, friends, we are caring. We are loving. We need to come alongside. But we need also to realise that just because a person is depressed or lonely or anxious or whatever, they have not necessarily ceased to give up their Christian faith. In fact, many people in this situation hold on tight to their Christian faith, and we need to encourage that. What can we do? Well, we can identify the cause. When did this start? Well, it started when my husband died, or it started when I lost all this money. Right, we can help there. Talk gently, not accusingly. Check medication, because as I said before, if someone's gone off their medication, they're in trouble. Support the partner. It can be just as hard for the husband, wife or partner as it can be for the person going through the issue. But make some ground rules, friends. Manipulation. Again, talking to someone last night at the Solid Rock, they were talking about a member of their family. They were going away for a holiday, and the member of the family said, oh, how will I cope? So I said, how did the member of the family cope? Brilliantly. So friends, we need to be careful that we are not being manipulated by guilt. Resolve a practical issue if you can with meals. And many illnesses and sicknesses I've got there can be ministered to by the church. Now, this is not meant to be a counselling situation. This is meant, from my point of view anyhow, to say, here we have the story of Elijah, a man of God, powerful, strong. He's just stood against the prophets of Baal and said, God, do what you want to do, and God has done it. And then this woman frightens him to death, well, nearly to death. I mean, there are some women who can be like that, but frightens him to death. And he scampers off, shoots through, and hides in a cave. Maybe people here this morning have felt like that. That a situation has been so big that you've wanted to run off and hide in a cave. Well, I'd like to think that as a Christian church, we can embrace people so that they don't have to run off and hide. And if people are going through depression, they can be encouraged. If people are feeling lonely, they can feel welcome and part of a group. And that we as the church would minister appropriately. Finally, let us all be reminded that God often comes to us in quietness. Voices in community are very loud. Everything takes our attention. If it's telly, it's the phone, it's all sorts of things. And Christmas, of course, is one of those dreadful times when there's so much demanding our attention. Friends, we need quietness. God often gives us something to do. Here's Elisha. Go and work with him. He puts things into perspective. Actually, there are 7,000 others who haven't bent their knee to Baal. We need to be realistic with truth. And as I've said, he provides help and fellowship. Unfortunately, sometimes people in this situation push away those who they actually love. And we need to be careful there. So friends, if you're in this situation, just be reminded of the love of God. If you know someone in this situation, move out to embrace and befriend them. Friends, let us not be accusing. If someone's got a broken leg, we're sympathetic. If someone's got a mental illness, we often find it hard to understand or work with. So let's embrace the situation. Beyond Blue, the group that often deals with depression and upset, has put out a number of incredible leaflets, so helpful. You can go online and download it or print it off. Dealing with lots of issues, understanding depression, depression in older people, living and caring for people, depression in men, all sorts of issues. Friends, grab onto some professional stuff if that's going to be helpful. And out there on that stand in our foyer, we have things, easy parent guides. And maybe some of these things would be helpful for parents and grandparents, helping young people cope with certain things before it develops into something far more serious. Psychological, God deals with us as complete people. And this mental illness pervades our society in an incredible way. And it pervades churches. Some of you have shared with me situations you've been in. So friends, let us embrace each other and let's take heart from Elijah, because in the end, God came to him in his particular need. God comes to us. Let us pray. Our Father, you are our God. And we realise that this story of Elijah is not put there for a joke, but it's put there for us to learn from and to reaffirm our trust in you and to realise that there are times when, it might be depression or loneliness or deep sadness, but you come to us. May our hearts and minds and lives be open to allow you to talk to us and to minister to us. And Father, we want to pray that for anyone here this morning, or anyone that we know in one of these situations, we want to ask that you would give us insight and a heart to move out to those people. And if you're here this morning in one of these situations and would like to talk to Dion or myself, please do so. Amen. We're going to sing.